Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And wake up, everybody. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, or we try to sift through all of the propaganda. Of course, the mainstream media narrative follows the mainstream FBI narrative about what happened in Utah with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But that story is collapsing in real time. We're going to go through all of that today with an NRA trained, an NRA gun trainer who literally spends his days not only as a former CIA agent, but also training people on how to use guns. And he says the whole story is total BS, and we're going to walk through that on the show today.
We're also going to talk about the story around James Comey, because our guest today says he's going to walk free. How do you have a 1.5-page indictment? Are they even trying? Now, James Comey, we're no fans of his. He is a bad dude. He absolutely should. Does Trump not have good thugs? Like, we have no, you know, what's going on here? We're going to go over that.
We're also going to talk about Iran, because Russia has just published a report saying that Israel is already planning next round of strikes against Iran. So are we on World War III watch? Russia is not happy about this. How will the United States be involved with this? U.S. Refueling tankers have just left the United States for Europe. The last time that happened, of course, was right before the attacks on Iran. Netanyahu is in Washington, D.C. today with a big Gaza plan and a peace plan with President Trump. So we're going to go over all of that on the show today.
Maybe you should air quote peace on that one, because I'm not sure how peaceful that plan is going to go, given that it's out of the mouth of Netanyahu. So yeah, we got a lot to get to. How are you doing? Did you have a nice weekend? Thanks for coming back to Redacted this Monday.
Thank you. Yeah, it's National Coffee Day today. So thank you so much. And also it's National Suns Day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We should put up.
No, we shouldn't do this.
Yes, we should.
But no, my mom posted, like, she posted a picture on, like, I don't know, Facebook or something. And it was like, it was me at a barbecue recently. And it's like the unflattering photo you've ever seen. It's like me eating, like, Maryland steamed crabs. And I'm like, that's hilarious. And that's the photo she posted. Like, Mom, come on.
Like, isn't that good?
I'd rather you post my, like, 1993
like a naked baby picture
prom photo or something. Anyway, you're not
now,
here.
In my
we're not
opinion,
here to talk about this.
She has the most handsome son in the world, so maybe she just had to bring you down a peg. Maybe she doesn't know this.
Anyway, happy Sun's Day and happy Coffee Day. All right, we got a lot of news to get to, so let's do it.
But first, before we do that, hey, would you like a coffee mug to go with National Coffee Day? Well, we have them on the Redacted store. The Redacted store is brought to you by Shopify. It's a great way for us to run our store. So anytime we want to show you things that you want to show the world that you watch Redacted, that you listen to Redacted. Well, we are happily clients of Shopify because they run our store beautifully. They have everything you need to grow your business, from that, oh, I have a great idea, to your website looks beautiful, to you made $1 million. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world. You can get 10%, and 10% of all e-commerce, I'm sorry, is in the U.S., is run on Shopify. And you know, if you see that little purple checkout, click to pay, you know you're on a Shopify site. Now, here is the Redacted store. We have all manner of things that you can choose from. And like I said, we are just super happy to run it on the Shopify platform, because we can execute really quickly if we had an idea. We can get it up on the store, see that purple button. That means that they handle all the e-commerce, all of the design, everything like that. So check them out. Sign up for a one month trial today. Go to shopify.com/redacted. Again, they have everything you need to get started. Shopify.com/redacted. Sign up for a 1 month trial period today.
Well, no one is buying the official FBI story any longer. I mean, anyone with an academic brain or a quizzical brain.
I don't think it has to be academic. I mean, common sense brain.
Common sense. I mean, that story goes something like this. A lone gunman named Tyler Robinson with a trans lover devises a plan to climb on a roof during Charlie Kirk's event, uses his father's bolt-action rifle, fires a .30-06 round into Charlie Kirk. One shot, And as soon as he fires that shot, he's already in full sprint, jumping down off the rooftop. Then he instantly jumps off the roof. He leaves his rifle in the woods, goes to Dairy Queen for a little snack, just casually hanging out Dairy Queen with a bit of a smile on his face there. That Dairy Queen, by the way, George Webb just reportedly showed that it has a closed sign now. It's been removed. Like, well, this Dairy Queen has just vanished. Watch.
Well, we're at 1545. Is that a Dairy Queen sign? Interestingly enough, looks like it's been totally taken apart. Got cleaning mop buckets everywhere.
Gone. Okay.
That's strange.
Yeah, that's strange. And the location where Charlie Kirk was shot has now been renovated by the university, like almost immediately. It's behind a gate now as work continues there, putting down new cement slabs, redoing the entire ceiling underneath that particular area where Charlie Kirk was sat. Totally fine, totally normal to have that done almost immediately right after a major assassination event. Okay. Tyler Robinson's family turned him in. Tyler confesses. End of story. Stop asking questions. But none of that makes sense given the evidence. Specifically when we analyze the kill shot that ended Charlie Kirk's life. Joining me now is former CIA agent Larry Johnson. And I should point out that Larry Johnson spends most of his time as an NRA licensed gun trainer. Yeah. Literally spends time almost every day on the gun range training people how to use guns. And says that the official story is 100% a lie. Now, Larry and I spoke at length yesterday about this, and what he told me was pretty shocking. I said, Larry, we got to get you on the show. Larry, good to see you, my friend.
Hey, good to see both of you. Thanks for having me back.
My pleasure. So, you know, I guess maybe I want to stick to the gunshot. I mean, that's where you're an expert, and that's where you smell a rat. Deep down, can you walk us through and really, am I putting words in your mouth when I say that you think this is 100% a lie, the official story they're telling us?
Yes. It's a complete fabrication. So let's deal with the actual facts that we have. Fact one is Charlie Kirk is dead. Fact two, we heard a gunshot. Sure sounded like a rifle shot to me. Three, the wound that killed Charlie did not have arterial blood spurts. Now that's it. That's all we know from actual facts. We don't know precisely from where the shot came from. We're told that it was done by this kid Tyler, except when you look at the video of him running across the roof, you realize that video should have picked him laying down on the roof taking the shot. We don't get that video. And then as he's running across the roof, his shadow disappears at one point. And then you can see people on the ground in the background walking, and they all of a sudden disappear. So the other fact we have is the video evidence that's being presented as evidence has clearly been tampered with. And you can see that person in the very, very back that's just walking on the sidewalk. And
yes, people have bothered me for a long time because at this point, we are supposed to believe that people are screaming and running in the quad around the corner.
But maybe more importantly is Larry's point that they disappear.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so does the shadow. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's like, where'd they go?
Where does the shadow go?
Scotty. So let's talk about the wound. Anybody that's watching you or listening to you, go to Rumble, go to BitChute, go to YouTube, search 30-06.30-06. There are ample videos on the internet showing what the power of that particular bullet is. When it's fired out of that cartridge, it's propelled with a force of about traveling at speeds upward of 2,000 feet per second and, you know, tremendous force. They've got images of ballistic gel, which is designed to resemble a human head and the skeleton part inside. They shoot cow bones, cow femurs, which are, you know, thicker than a man's arm. And every one of those shots shows that the bullet shatters completely, passes through. If that round that hit Charlie had been a .30-06, as the FBI and the local police claim, Charlie's head would have been, if not completely severed, partially severed, and it would have been unrecognizable. Well, that clearly
blown
didn't
off his
happen.
Yeah. Blown off his shoulders, essentially. Yeah.
Can I get you to respond to the Turning Points USA spokesperson that said that, yes, under normal, that would have been normal, but his body stopped it because he had superhuman bones, essentially? Can you respond to the possibility of a bullet entering somebody's body and then, like a pinball machine working its way up and out? What is the chances of that happening?
Yeah, zero. So look at there's another guy on YouTube called Valhalla VFT. He's a retired special forces soldier, and he's got a firearms business up. I believe it's up either North Carolina or Virginia, but he's got an extended video. He took the .30-06. He brought in a precision shooter, and they shot a variety of things, including a cal femur. Now, a cal femur is, 4 to 5 times thicker than a human spine. And it's big. When the .30-06 round hit that femur, it shattered it, just exploded it. Next, they took another cal femur, put about a 4-inch bag of meat on top of it, and it still shattered it. So this notion that, I don't doubt that they may have found a bullet, but the bullet they found was not a .30-06 round. That's the key thing.
That completely that alters completely the FBI's official story.
Exactly.
So if it's not a .30-06 rifle round, what was it? And, as you and I were talking yesterday, you were saying you think you know exactly what it was.
Well, I think, it's speculation at this point, but it could have been what's called a 300 blackout, like a 223, the 223 556. It's a NATO round, the 556, the NATO version. That's what you shoot in a regular AR-15 M4 platform. Interestingly, the size, the diameter of the bullet is the same as a .22 caliber bullet. So it's not like the bullet's bigger. 300 blackout, though, is a little bit bigger. What makes 300 blackout a potential candidate in this is that when it enters the skin, there's a cavitation effect. Now, I think I saw that you had the stacked up cards that shows that you can find videos as well where somebody can shoot a 50 caliber bullet, and the mythology is that the shock wave that follows it is so great it would blow the cards out. Well, I can show you videos where, in fact, it goes through. But when one of these bullets enters human skin and is in fluid, and there's this cavitation effect, so it's you can see these waves that just rapidly expand. And what looks like happened in Charlie's case is whatever bullet hit him here in the throat, it was at a downward angle, it created such a cavitation effect inside the chest that it literally stopped, if not destroyed, the heart. And in that regard, to Natalie's point, that kind of bullet might have bounced off the spine or been stopped by the spine. It doesn't have the same kind of penetration effect, particularly if it's a soft point, that the .30-06 round does. But that explains the unusual bleeding we saw from Charlie. I worked my way through college as a respiratory therapy tech and was involved in several emergency room responses with people who were bleeding but also having a respiratory emergency. So where I saw the bullet wound, I expected to see just a pumping of blood coming out because it penetrated. It would have nicked, if not fully cut, the artery in his neck, the carotid artery. But we didn't see that. It was like He paused, he stiffened up, clearly showing signs of neurological damage. And then as he fell over, it was like, you know, somebody hit a beer tap on a big beer machine. Just this flood started down his neck. That means the heart had been completely stopped. Because
this is a very important point. As he's hit in the neck, you believe he was hit in the neck. It exploded, ripped through his heart, destroyed his heart. He's dead instantly. You pointed out, because his arms come up and brace, that's a neurological response.
It's going stiff.
His hands come up, and it went to his brain, so it also severed his spine. And that shot, that is the entry wound that we're seeing. Yeah. And as you pointed out, it's not from Tyler Robinson's location. It's from a slightly different location, right?
Yeah, it appears to be. And that's where we don't... And here's what's so disturbing. When you have this kind of assassination, seal the crime scene off, and then you run tests based upon, because you know the height of Charlie, you know the height of the chair, you can put somebody in that chair, you wait to co-locate exactly where you saw the bullet hole, and then with lasers you can trace back, you know, did it make sense? Because if they're going to get this Tyler Robinson kid into court, right away, this video that I recommended to you by Chris Martinson, all his defense attorney has to do is show that video. There's no more case. Because
the Chris
all
Martinson,
you have to do...
This is the video. So, let's put it up here on the screen. We just have a screenshot of Chris just so people can watch this. It's an excellent analysis here called Analysis Solves Kirk Case. Evidence points away from Robinson's position. He says 100% Tyler Robinson did not fire that shot from that location.
And in a criminal case, all you have to do is raise reasonable doubt.
Right.
That video raises more than reasonable doubt. You're going, good God, the FBI's lying. Because they didn't seal the crime scene, or the local police didn't. They had the first responsibility. They failed in their job. But then when the FBI's on scene, they failed to go out and secure it. Instead, the whole thing's being dug up. They didn't reconstruct the crime scene right there. So it was just the sloppiness on this. And then that time they changed their story. So we can't put that information out because it's under investigation. Yet they had no problem putting out the entire transcript, supposed transcript,
right,
of this 22-year-old kid talking to his trans partner. I mean, come on. I'm going to change my outfit. You know. Those are words that's never come out of my mouth. Okay.
Yes, I'll get the vehicle later. Yeah, right. Yes.
Lots of absurdities, but so that's what I said.
But every time I think about this, because we're seeing how absurd the government is behaving, almost doing this badly on purpose, then it makes me wonder if he will get a real defense attorney who can actually win the case, because you could just send in a patsy and make a plea deal, turn this kid into a plea deal, right? I mean, he is on a good trajectory to become our generation's Lee Harvey Oswald, and we will not get an answer from this. And do you share these concerns?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Once they start talking, we got him on suicide watch. We brought in the same crack team that handled Jeffrey Epstein. They're experienced, you know.
Great.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
start the countdown about his days numbered. Yeah. Look, I don't know why. I think the way this entire narrative has been, all the different theories that are out there, like the exploding microphone, and Clayton and I talked about this yesterday. Natalie, I don't know if you fired a handgun, but anybody that's ever fired a revolver or a semi-automatic pistol, when you press that trigger, the bullet explodes forward, and which way does the gun move? Well, it moves backwards. It comes back at you. And I know somebody that fired a 50 caliber Desert Eagle, which is a big gun. He fired it and went boom, hit him in the forehead. So
right, Desert Eagles, so what, yeah.
So what you see with this microphone that's being touted, oh, that's what killed Charlie. When it goes off, the supposed explosion, it moves forward. You know, defying laws of physics. So if an explosion had originated from that microphone, that microphone should have moved this direction on Charlie. It did not. And when you realize that what you see in that literal second that Charlie is shot and dies, he dies within a second. You get 30 frames. You see the shirt go up and then come back down. And you see his neck swell because there was an explosion that went off inside of his body. And all of that blood and fluid, and it just forced it. It was just a very rapid expansion. But the reason that I think that this was an organized assassination is because almost immediately afterwards, boy, you start to get two or three different stories about what happened.
So the disinformation.
Can I ask you, do you think that there was, wasn't there a way to do this and not in front of people? What is the purpose?
Well, no, you want it in front of people, right? You want the spectacle.
Natalie's thinking like a typical woman, very logical and very practical. Because she said, if your goal is just kill him, and or have him die, and he had a heart attack or something. No, this was to send a political message. And I don't know if this was a message designed to try to provoke a fight between right and left, to try to create a justification for the government taking more control. But no, Natalie, that's an excellent observation.
The surveillance state. Yeah, Palantir is just sitting there like wetting its lips, watching us all, fret over all of this right now.
Right, and one more observation. It does feel like in the last 2 weeks we've had these mass shooting events, mass violent events, and then right away some kind of partisan explanation, and we are fighting over it. So it feels very tiring to continue to do that, and very much like we're being stoked for a partisan war.
Yeah, I never discount the power of my old organization to be involved with a lot of nefarious activity. We just and we got a very recent example. We had this guy Muhammad al-Jilani. He was the head of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. He was part of al-Qaeda when we started the war in Iraq in 2003. He then was imprisoned by David Petraeus from 2006 and stayed in prison in Iraq 2011. He gets out and joins up with ISIS. And then he becomes al-Nusra. And then in 2016, he resigns from al-Qaeda, sets up Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. And lo and behold, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, this group, a Sunni Islamist, they're killing Christians, they're killing Alawites, they're killing Shia. They're beheading people. Hayat Tahrir al-Sham is listed as one of the top 10 terrorist groups in the world in the State Department's annual report on terrorism in 2017, 2018 as well. And all of a sudden we learn that in 2025, with a $10 million reward on his head, he is suddenly embraced by the United States. They change his name to al-Shara. They cut his beard, trim his hair, give him a suit. And now he's our big buddy.
Right.
So the simple fact that the United States has a track record through the CIA of collaborating with terrorists that we claim they attacked us on 9/11. Yeah. And we go, shucks, that was nothing. Let bygones be bygones. You're our buddies now. We provide money, we provide training. So when you come back and say, is it possible that the government or some entity connected to the government may have wanted Charlie Kirk dead? I can't rule that out because we've got too much of a track record of nefarious, murderous behavior by the United States. And look, we're seeing another example of it right now with this whole Venezuela madness. Trinidad and Tobago pops up out of nowhere in 2018, and that's when Donald Trump starts this, what they call this attempt to bring massive pressure on Venezuela. And now we're blowing up boats where nobody's shooting at us, but we're claiming they're carrying drugs, all designed to feed into this, how you manipulate public opinion, how you inflame public emotion, and how it's MK Ultra on steroids.
Larry Johnson, former CIA agent, trained NRA gun trainer. Thank you for this. There's so many other pieces of this, but I really wanted to focus on the gunshot specifically, and what you're training and what the evidence is showing us specifically.
Yeah, let me just be clear that what I'm saying was I'm not representing the NRA on anything that I'm saying. That was all my own opinion.
This is your speculation.
That's not NRA.
Informed speculation. I mean, it was fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you. All right, thanks, Larry. Yeah, so the official story has collapsed. Also, real quick, we should show this. This guy with Meta glasses, this is another piece of the story. You can add this to the mix of crazy things. This guy right behind Charlie, he's wearing these Meta glasses, and right before the shot's fired, he turns on or turns off the recording of his Meta glasses. He gets shot, goes over to assist as he's falling down.
What the heck?
And then he turns on or off the Meta glasses right after Charlie collapses. Either he turns it on or off. So either when he's standing there right before the shot is fired, he turns it on. You see, right? He'll just play that again real quick. Right here, right before he either turns it on or off, clicks it on, and then he's shot, and then he either turns it on or off right afterwards. I'd love to see that video. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Steve Baker about his bombshell new report about the feds that flooded January 6th. They were there by the hundreds in the audience. Why the FBI lied to us for years about this? Steve Baker is next. We're going to talk about that. But first, the Fed has finally dropped interest rates, and that is good news for American homeowners because usually mortgage rates follow that. Expenses have been a major burden on families. Wages are flat. Prices keep climbing. And for many, the only way to make ends meet is to lean on credit cards, which is awful. But that cycle of high interest debt makes it hard to stay ahead. But if you're a homeowner, and I want you to call our friends over at American Financing right now, interest rates have dropped. Many homeowners are seeing options in the low fives right now. So I want you to give them a call. You could save as much as $800 a month if you get started today, maybe even able to delay your next mortgage payment. Take control. Call American Financing today, 866-890-9392. 866-890-8434. I can say that better. 866-890-8434. AmericanFinancing.net/redacted is the website. You can go there. Their NMLS number is 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. And APR rates in the fives start at 6.327% for well-qualified borrowers.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, thank you guys for subscribing and being a part of our show. And thanks for staying with us today. We got a busy, busy show. Well, were there any feds hidden in the crowd on January 6th? Were there one, maybe two, maybe three FBI agents posing as MAGA supporters or protesters? No, there weren't one or two or three. Turns out we now know there were over 270 feds blended into protesters that day. 270? That's more than the amount they told us about. According to The Blaze and Steve Baker, who wrote this piece, the FBI has acknowledged it had 274 plainclothes agents embedded on January 6th. So why'd they lie about it more than 4 years ago? One of the great reporters of our time is Steve Baker. He joins us now on the show. Steve, great to have you here. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So you're getting a lot of flack for this piece, of course. I know the fact checkers over at Yahoo News are out in force. They've already fact checked your report, and they're saying it was just simply, Steve, a riot response. Once the riot started, all of these individuals then suddenly found themselves embedded. That's all it was. Nothing to see here. What do you say to Yahoo News and their fact checkers?
Well, first of all, we have our follow up to that story just came out this morning. So you can find that at theblaze.com as well. And it's dealing with and addressing the firestorm that happened after that. So on Thursday night, we released, a source in Congress told us that there were 275, is what he said, plainclothes FBI agents that had been embedded in the crowd. So we ran with it. And then the big document came out a little while later, which was the after action report. Now, look, this is where we can go crazy for hours talking about this because it becomes nothing but convoluted. And this is where Yahoo, in their attempt to fact check, doesn't really care about the facts other than just trying to criticize one word, embedded. And I'll argue that word with you all day long. It doesn't matter when they arrived. if they're embedding themselves, they're under the command at that point of the United States Capitol Police because they have the jurisdiction over that building. All right. Now, when we begin talking about this, the first thing that you have to understand is what is the difference between plain clothes, undercover, and does the FBI even have a uniform? Can we start there? So,
right.
Yeah. So the answer to that is no, they don't. You know, this is not the J. Edgar Hoover days of the FBI where they were all wearing, you know, really tight button down suits every day to work. When you have a agent show up at your door and do a knock and talk, as they call it, now they're wearing a flannel shirt, they're wearing T-shirts, they're wearing jeans. They might have a light jacket on. They may or may not have an identifying apparel like on their jacket or their ball cap or something showing that they're with the FBI, but they have to flash their baggage, that sort of thing. When they are called into duty for what's called crowd control, A, that's something that they're not trained for. B, that's what Kash Patel said a day or so ago, that that's what they were there for, that that's what the 274 were called up. They were responding and then therefore engaging in crowd control. On the rare occasions that FBI are called to do crowd control, they don't run over there in their flannel shirt and jeans. They kit up. They put on, they have ballistic vests they put on, just like when they're doing an arrest. So they all have them. They put on the identifying gear. They wear their badges on a lanyard or on their belt. They're very clearly marked as FBI. And one of the things that myself and my partner at the Blaze, Joe Hanneman, recognized instantly or realized or remembered, maybe the better word, is in our thousands of hours of video review that we have never one single time seen an FBI agent assisting Capitol Police and or Metropolitan Police or any other uniformed officer in helping clear the Capitol or helping protect the Capitol or helping in any way involve themselves in crowd control. The footage does not exist. It doesn't happen. Now, was FBI there? Did FBI help them clear the building? Yes, the tactical units did. The SWAT looking guys, you know, guys in the full military regalia. Those guys were there early. They arrived at the Capitol in their big vehicle about 2:30. They walked into the building on the south entrance around 2:45, 2:50, somewhere in there. And as soon as they walked into the south entrance, into what they call the Hall of Columns, Ashley Babbitt's mortally wounded body had been carried downstairs to that exit point. And I, with my own eyes, I was there. I was there when it happened. I watched the actual FBI SWAT team's medics take over and try to save Ashley Babbitt's life right there in front of me at that moment. So they were there, FBI, but not these 274 people that we've learned about that were called up for crowd control.
So crowd control, right, you would think, well, then 274 of them, they would have really propelled people, they would have kept them out of the doors instead of doors being opened for people to come into the Capitol, maybe the exact opposite of that. But maybe on the flip side, Steve, okay, if they weren't there for crowd control, they weren't doing any crowd control, there's no evidence they were helping in crowd control, were they doing the opposite, which was instigating, being a part of, and rabble-rousing? Is there any evidence of that?
Oh, this is what we've learned since Thursday. You know how they say these things are fluid. Okay, you get the leaks from Congress, you get the release of the document, then you start going through a very convoluted, very confusing after action report, not well written, not well presented at all for an agency like the FBI. You would think it would be better, and then you have the adding to the firestorm, you have the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, coming out and saying, oh, no, these were responding to the requests from the Capitol for assistance in crowd control. But you've got the president, he's over there on Truth Social, he's putting out, you know, like, he's flamethrowing. He's talking about this proves it. This proves that it was a Fed direction and that these guys were instigators and agitators. I forget the exact language he was using, but it's readily available for anybody that wants to see it. It's all over the Twitter sphere. But the point is that you've got Cash and you've got the president in conflict with their messaging, adding to the confusion. So right. Then we do. we have to dig into this thing even deeper and even further to figure out what's going on. The advantage that Joe and I have from The Blaze is that he and I have had more time in the Capitol CCT viewing room than any other journalist on the planet. We brought entire teams into the viewing room there to go through thousands of hours worth of this video for weeks at a time. And this is not something that we're unaware of. We have and we see FBI agents entering the building. We see FBI agents arriving at the Capitol later. What we never see is them actually doing any crowd control ever. They never join the battle lines or the riot lines. They never are helping assist push the more resistant protesters out of the rotunda. We never see that. Not one single time do we see that. Except for the tactical units, you know, hard charging through the building with their guns up, and they moved some people. Right.
The other big question is, well, did Christopher Wray lie to all of us? I mean, we were told, this is a crazy question. How dare you ask about feds being present on January 6th? You're a MAGA, you're a conspiracy nut, Ray Epps. All of you guys are all nuts. This was an insurrection of Trump supporters who wanted to overthrow the government. There were no feds there that day.
Here's what we know and here's what we don't know. All right. We know beyond any shadow of doubt that there were professional paid provocateurs at the Capitol that day. We don't know who they were working for. We have theories, a lot of speculation. People will get mad at me for saying what I'm about to say right now. And I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Out of the 1,600 cases, out of the hundreds of trials, out of the thousands of hours of video, and out of all the research and the investigations done by journalists on the left, journalists on the right, and congressional investigators themselves, they've not been able to pin a single bad action on an actual identified FBI agent or employee. That doesn't include the CHSs, the assets. I believe that Ray Epps was an asset of somebody. He wasn't an agent, but he was an asset. The DOJ gave that game away when they slapped him on the wrist with a, you know, 6-month probation and a $500 fine. He didn't even have to show up in D.C. for a trial and was charged pled guilty to one misdemeanor charge. There are many other examples of Ray Epps's in the crowd, but we don't know who they're tied to yet. We did a story back in March, about Nancy Pelosi's fixer. His name is Aaron Black. This is an actual guy who made his living working for the DNC, going all the way back to Occupy Wall Street as one of their original organizers. And his whole career has been as a professional agitator and riot starter. And he was there on January 6th. We have a source at The Blaze who have told us that Aaron Black had at least paid 50 agitators or provocateurs there in the crowd that day. Then we have the DOD elements, because we know that the FBI is not the only federal agency. HSI was there. The U.S. Marshals were there. Tons of other federal agencies had boots on the ground. CIA were on the ground. They had their own dog sniffing team. What are they doing working in the United States? DOD was on the ground. We know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Ultimately, my conclusion is, where our investigation is headed, is I'm swerving further and further and further away from FBI being the source of the biggest problems of the day, other than their absence. And that's another story. They were suspiciously absent that day, despite what everybody else says and what everybody else thinks. But the people that were suspiciously present were elements of the Department of Defense. And that's the real story. That's where we're headed.
Interesting. The Department of Defense. Oh, Steve, you've been really, I mean, thank you for staying on this story, because a lot of other people have just been hitting walls, and you've just been crashing right through them with your reporting on this. I mean, I know it has affected you deeply personally, as you were there that day. People can watch you and I did a deep dive interview about your personal story. If they want to seek that out, we have that here on the channel. Steve, thank you so much. People can read the next version or the next portion of this story at The Blaze right now. You just published it this morning. I encourage our audience to go check that out as well. Steve, great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for the great work as always.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve. Unbelievable. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, the DOD. Oh, yeah, the DOD. Yeah, exactly.
This should be easy to believe. It never gets easy.
No.
I mean, I have a pretty worked out muscle in disbelief of mainstream narratives. And even this feels heavy for me to lift. So,
okay. Well, hey, thanks everyone for subscribing to the channel. Thank you for being here. We try to cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. They've totally ignored this story. It requires incredible journalists like Steve to break pieces of this. So thank you for being a part of our live show every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's where when we go live. All right. Coming up.
Will James Comey walk free? Why does he have such a thin indictment? And when I say thin, I mean thin, paper thin. Okay, anorexic. So we're going to talk to Lionel about this because he's one of our favorite legal analysts. He says he's pissed that the Department of Justice did not even try. So we're going to take a look at that. Before we do that, though, Clayton wants to tell you about the price of gold and silver, which is, again, through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw silver today. Holy smokes, what's going on right now is the dollar continues to crater. A lot of experts predicting, of course, a collapse of the U.S. dollar. It's heading in that direction. How many months? We don't know. But if your family's savings, it's all about wealth preservation. Like if your family's future, kids' college, all of that is tied to U.S. dollars. You know, again, I think you guys need to protect yourselves. That's what Natalie and I do, is protect ourselves by buying precious metals, by buying gold and silver. Because it's not, yeah, it's great that it's gone up. It's great that gold just hit a new all-time high. It's great that silver, it's nearing its all-time high. That's wonderful. That's wonderful for like our self-directed IRAs where we invested and then we hold gold and silver. That's wonderful that it's gone up. But it's not about that. It's actually about as a hedge against inflation, making sure that you're protecting yourself against a devaluing U.S. dollar. That's really what it's about. It's about wealth preservation. And our friends at Lear Capital, they're an American company. They can help you get started. And they're an education company first. So there's no risk at all. Just get on the phone with them and have a free conversation with them. Call their 800 number. That phone number is tied directly to our team here at Redacted. So they will know you came from Redacted. Just say, hey, we were watching Redacted. I just want to have a conversation. And they will send you a gold guide in the mail. You can sit down with your spouse, your loved one, go over it. So call 1-800-613-3557 for your free guide today. And just make a decision like, hey, if I've got $5,000 in U.S. dollars sitting in a savings account and it's losing money every day thanks to inflation, can I use this as a hedge against it and move it over into gold and silver? You can store it in your own gun vault if you want. They'll send coins, bars directly to your house, or you can have it stored in an offsite facility that's under 24-hour guard, armed guard, of course. So talk to them about this entire process. And maybe you have an old 401k that's like sitting around. You can actually convert that over to a self-directed account and start investing in anything you want. Real estate, stocks, gold, silver, all of it. And Wall Street won't be enriched by it. Go to LearRedacted.com. Or call them 1-800-613-3557 to get your free gold guide right now. They're great friends of the show. Thanks, Lear, for supporting what we do here.
Well, James Comey, the former FBI director and prosecutor, was indicted by the Justice Department, but our next guest says he will walk free because the government, did they even try? It seems not, because the indictment is less than 2 pages. So we can extrapolate pretty much nothing. It says Comey lied to Congress and obstructed justice. It doesn't say when or how or what those lies were. This is not to say that James Comey is a good guy. He is not. He has used dirty indictments before. Remember the case of Martha Stewart? But that doesn't mean that this case has any strength. If the government is going to indict him, they've got to bring the goods, and they didn't hear. Another problem is that this indictment came just days after President Trump asked for it, which is not the way this is supposed to work. The executive branch is supposed to be separate from the judicial branch. Joining us to discuss is Lionel from the Lionel Nation YouTube channel. And he is pissed, he told me on text today. He's mad as snakes because he says this is not a good case. This is not how it should have been done. So make that case to us, Lionel. What are the charges and why are they so crap?
Well, here I go again. Another case for Diddy and then this one. And these cases are dogs, and I don't want to do this. It's not my point. When I first heard that Comey was indicted, I said, it's like, about time. Yes, finally. Yes. I didn't read anything. I'm thinking, I'm just assuming he lied. That son of a gun, of course he lied. Let me tell you what the case is about and why he will not only walk, but very well could have this case dismissed before it even gets to a jury. He is alleged to have done as follows. They asked him the question, did you, Mr. Comey, direct, authorize, whatever you want to call them? And these words are weird, authorize, direct. But did you authorize Andy McCabe to order a leak? It was Lisa Page. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't want to get into the weeds. Did you, Comey, authorize or order or know about or were you a part of this leak? He said no. No. Later on, for reasons I do not understand, Ted Cruz, who I don't know what this guy's about, I don't know whose side he's on, he goes into this discussion about how he authorized Andy McCabe to issue this leak. And he says, and Andy McCabe said that you did this. He goes, wait. I never said that. Now, the bottom line is simply this. He never authorized McCabe. How do I know that? How do we know that? The IG, the Inspector General's report, Michael Horowitz, he said it. He said, McCabe is a crook. If anybody needs to be pushing or cracking rocks upstate, it's McCabe. But mm-hmm. He even said, no, I did this on my own. Now, afterwards, Comey found out, and he seemed to say, oh, well, he didn't object, he didn't stop, he didn't arrest him, but he didn't authorize it. And in the world of perjury, you've got to know that what you're saying is false, believe it to be false, and intentionally say it is false. He said specifically, I didn't authorize this. McCabe said he didn't authorize it. The case is done. Do you think, and this Lindsay Halligan, or does she know what she's doing? They say she even actually handled the grand jury herself. There was one particular count that was rejected. You know, the great Saul Wachler, greatest jurist New York certainly has ever produced, came up with this line one time in passing. He said, you know, a good prosecutor or a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. Well, apparently the Trump administration can't indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
There's a buffet of things to pick from that Comey has done. The problem is, as it relates to Russiagate, we know that Tulsi Gabbard has shown us evidence that he used the Steele dossier when there was no. Right. So we know he did bad stuff. So why did they choose this spoiled food when there's a whole buffet of other? Is it just because of the statute of limitations?
Well, but so what? The statute of limitations on a case that doesn't exist. He didn't commit a crime. He didn't lie. They asked him. He didn't authorize this. Look, you know, it's like the old expression when you say, look, I may have done a lot of things, but I didn't do this. Well, that's
okay, but the law, he did use a faulty document, the Steele dossier, to continue to pursue the Trump-Russia collusion case. What's illegal about that? Can the FBI
him.
Just, is there anything there?
Well, maybe have a grand jury and be find out. How about what they did to Carter Page? How about, here's one for you, everybody brace yourself. How about Hillary Clinton?
Right.
What is this woman? What is she? Bulletproof? Is she the sacred cow? What does she have to do? What does she have to do? I don't have to go through that again. This whole business, you know, the Steele dossier, Perkins Coie, and this, and the Russian harlots relieving themselves on the Perkins. Look, that's another issue. The bottom line is simply this. Comey was so right. And this is a guy, by the way, he also put up that weird shell design where he said 8647, meaning 86. He's making references to what? To murder?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is simply this, and it pains me. Look, I'm not going to, for every time I ever was a member of a bar association, whether it's Florida, New York, New Jersey, the Supreme Court, we always had to plead, swear fealty to the Constitution. To honor and to defend, protect the Constitution. And the Constitution says, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're James Comey. You're not guilty of this. And how anybody, I've got to ask the question, what's going on here? How did this Lindsay, by the way, I guess in order to be a U.S. attorney, you've got to be, what, a Fox News a person? You've got to be somebody on the,
cute,
on the
she's
runway?
Cute. Let's give her that. Yeah.
I don't. This is ridiculous. I mean, she's no Bill Barr. But the point is, these people were competent. These people were competent. People love, I hate to say it, Pam Bondi, Pete Hegseth, Kash Patel. By the way, Kash Patel, bless his heart, someone said one time he looks like a cartoon hypnotist. Every time he talks, I get scared. It's like, what, Kash? What? Someone said it looks like, this is terrible. It's like Charlie Manson's whispering in his ear. These are these people that represent the FBI. Say what you want about these other folks. I don't care who it is. They may be scoundrels. They may be rapscallions. They may be criminals. But they were really good. And they were folks who were basically brought up in this system. But going back to this, it's going to be a very simple thing. It's going to be such a slam dunk. Now, the question is, when this judge, I remember his name, I'm going to mispronounce it, I won't, but when this is a Biden appointee, if he were to grant the motion to dismiss, you know what they're going to say? The fix is in. The fix is in. No, I'd be the first one to say, I can't stand this guy. But justice demands this. Or they could say, look, let's let it go to a jury, waste your time, waste your money, and then maybe the public will be able to fathom this or to swallow this. That's not justice either. Let me tell you what I wish they would have done, though, which they...
But can I just stop you for a second? Because
you're
talking about whether these specific instances, and it says it happened September 30th, 2020, so tomorrow will be the 5-year statute of limitations. But it doesn't actually say which false statements. It doesn't actually say who he did it to. So if we could just put up what the Sixth Amendment says, so that because we should want everybody to have the best defense, the Sixth Amendment says that you have a right to, the accused has the right to be informed of the nature and the cause of the accusation. You can't fight a case like this when it's literally, it's probably less than 200 words, and we're not exactly sure.
You can.
So how do you know?
You can have, bills of particulars. And they also want indictments sometimes. They say another person. It'd be McCabe. Person number one, Hillary. Person number three, I think, was this law professor that he referred to. So it's very often, sometimes these are very, very sparse. They don't go through a lot of words. It's kind of like the old notion of notice pleading. You'll find out the specifics of this. They don't sit back and say, that's all you're going to get. We're not going to talk to you. Doesn't matter. But the bottom line is simply this. Let me just leave you with this, because I know. I would have not mind, Natalie, I think you would have agreed too. Okay, fine, you're going to dismiss it. But when you arrested or when you charged him, could you have at least given him the Roger Stone 4 a.m. ninja routine? Wake him up in the middle of the night, have him walk out barefoot? With CNN
there. Martha Stewart, could you have done that for her?
Like, I mean, just do this. Now, remember, Martha Stewart, this is a different case. Remember, she was charged under 18 U.S.C. 1001, lying to a federal agent regarding an investigation. That's why people say, don't talk to the police or the feds. What do you have the Fifth Amendment. What do you talk? Which is another story completely. But I don't understand this. Look at what happens. Look at the ignominy. Are we going to see the mugshot? Because remember, he's going to be booked. He's going to be booked. He's going to turn himself in. They have to physically take custody of him. Are they going to have his mugshot on display like they did Trump's? I mean, are they going to do this? But why Roger Stone? Think about this. It was essentially the same thing. Roger Stone's not going anywhere. Roger Stone's not. They could have at least easily called his lawyer, and out of courtesy. Look at the way they treated him. Look at the way they treated General Flynn with these process crimes. It's unconscionable. That's a different issue. Absolutely, horribly, terribly a different issue. But it's so unfair. But Natalie, it kills me. I was so excited. And then we're reading something. Oh, no. Because when you get back into it, you have to bring into, in effect, the testimony from I.G. Horowitz. Because that fellow said, McCabe, 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 That's the one who should have been charged. But the FBI said no. And don't forget, remember, Comey was the one who basically, Joy Behar doesn't like him. Joy Behar doesn't like him because of what he did. He went after Hillary Clinton, said he wasn't going to charge Hillary Clinton, and then read all the things Hillary did, and then said, and by the way, we're not going to charge you. Even I said then, you charge him or you don't, and you keep your mouth shut. You don't tell what somebody did, but we're not going to charge you. Comey is dirty to everyone. Nobody likes him. Hillary Clinton, here I am. I'm thinking, I'm actually standing up for Hillary Clinton. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in the Constitution. I don't care who it is, Charles Manson, Charles Schwab. It doesn't matter to me. But this goes to show you, Natalie, does President Trump know what he's doing? Who are these people he's hired? Yeah. Alina Haba, gone. Pam Bondi, remember the Epstein thing with the binders? What's that all about? And by the way, we're going to ask you a question. I know what you're thinking. Who the hell's decorating the Oval Office? It looks like a Cracker Barrel gift shop. What is this stuff? What is happening?
Well, we can forgive that if we get the goods.
He's paving over the Rose Garden to make it to be some kind of a food court at a mall. I don't look, but that's the least of our problem. We have the weirdest, I'm let down constantly. Natalie, the other day we were going to finally get to the bottom of autism. We were going to get to the bottom about the role of vaccines, anti-vaxxers. What did they say? Tylenol. What? What is happening here? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Anything. And I BB spoke today. I'm not even going to take that story. I'm not even going to read it because my blood pressure.
Oh, well, we're going to get to that next with Dave DeCamp from antiwar.com. So
I'm not watching
this.
Don't
you worry.
I can't take this.
But my body language is the same as yours. It's this constantly. So, okay, that's how we got to end it because we do have
I am in constant. I'm in constant flex. My physician is you're in constant. I mean, I'm same. In a Valsalva maneuver, looking like a baby with a diaper. I'm always upset by this. I wanted so much to believe in this man. What is going on? Tell me one big news. What? ICE is great. They're slugging people left and right. That's good. And by the way, pray for us because I live in New York City and we have a race. I don't even know what the hell that's about. I have no. It's put it this way. I'd rather vote for an onion ring than half of the people running. I mean, it is. I don't know what country I'm in anymore. I'm serious. I don't know. And I need you and Clayton to help me. And so far, you've done a lousy job today because I'm more upset than I was before I listened.
Okay.
And
We have a box of medication on its way this afternoon. It's arriving by courier.
Scotch whiskey.
We door dashed it. It'll be there this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lionel. All right. So anyone who had any faith in the Comey indictment, if we have not sufficiently burst that bubble, then come back, watch it again.
No, I've told our great neighbors, great patriots. I said, Comey's going to walk. And they're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like, I think so, too.
I mean, I opened that, too. I'm like, ooh, what are we doing? And then it's almost like getting the wrong fast food order.
I'm pretty sure I called it in our group chat before they'd even put out the indictment. I just knew that there was just nothing here. It was just like there's no way. Because I mean, the guy that was in charge of it, they'd already been through a grand jury, and they're like, "There's nothing here." Yeah. And so then, revisiting it.
Well, and Lionel has nailed it every time. I mean, he was a prosecutor, a New York City prosecutor. Like,
so he was right about Diddy.
Like,
he's right about
don't just let the fact that Lionel's a funny guy, like, you know, distract you from the fact that he's a very good prosecutor and knows his stuff.
And constitutional
and constitutional lawyer. He knew that the Diddy case was weak, and he predicted that weeks ahead of time, and he was correct on that. His laundry list of being correct is pretty long at this point.
Indeed.
All right.
Well, we're going to get to
war
with Iran. That seems to be on the agenda. Go ahead.
I was going to say, war with Iran part two seems like it's getting very, very close. Washington insiders saying it's barreling towards that right now. Sources telling Redacted that it seems that they're laying the groundwork right now for this. And Russia is also on the record now saying, yes, this is happening. So Russia, Netanyahu, what's going to happen here? We're going to talk about that coming up.
But first, we want to tell you about our friends at Chapter, because millions of seniors, you guys, are on the wrong Medicare plan, and they don't even know it. And in fact, Trump's Department of Justice recently sued three Medicare brokers for allegedly claiming to be unbiased while secretly steering seniors towards plans with big cutbacks for them, not the customer. The referrer. Well, that's why we partnered with Chapter, because they don't do that. They don't work for the government. They don't work for big insurance. They work for you. They are the only advisors that compare every Medicare plan nationwide to find what's best for you, and they will help you if you're hit with wrongful medical bills. So that's real advocacy. They stay with you even after they've found you a good plan. They've saved the average senior $1,100 per year. And in fact, one of our good friends used Chapter, saving thousands going forward. And the best part is that this is a free service. You can review your options in under 20 minutes with a phone call. Just call this number, 202-655-5811, or go to askchapter.org/redacted and get started. It never hurts to continue to explore the marketplace. So again, let them help you. They're the only Medicare advisor that we trust here at Redacted. You'll be glad you did. And most of our audience say they wish they'd called sooner. Askchapter.org/redacted.
Well, is the second phase of the war with Iran coming? Russia just released a pretty stunning statement. According to Russia's Ministry of Defense, new strikes against Iran are being planned and they are coming. Insiders in D.C. are telling Redacted that this is the case, that this is actively being discussed and ready to move into an action phase now. And just like that, Bibi arrived at the White House for his fourth visit in 8 months. Bibi, the name Bibi makes him sound like just a friendly little fella, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So he arrives in Washington, D.C., his fourth visit in 8 months. As Steve Bannon pointed out, normally there'd be like a whole color guard welcoming, him. No, there was none of that this time. That's the first time Steve Bannon said he's ever seen that. There was really no welcome dog and pony show for him. And the last time this happened, it happened just days later, Israel and the United States launched part one of the war against Iran. So part two is coming. Also overnight, a wave of U.S. air tankers have been deployed to Europe. Again, the last time that this happened was right before the attacks on Iran. Eight U.S. Air Force tankers are on their way to Europe. Again, the last time that this happened was right before the attacks. Again, this could be for exercise purposes, as Zero Hedge points out. Also, today, Bibi, Trump meeting discussing the end of the Gaza war. So what's going on here? Sort of a peace plan. Just in, the White House releases a map and details of Trump's Gaza peace plan. Israel will not occupy or annex the Gaza Strip. Gaza will become a terror-free zone, whatever that means, and will be, quote, redeveloped for the benefit of the people of Gaza, end quote, whatever that means. The deal also includes a prisoner swap. Joining us to discuss all of these latest developments is the editor of one of our favorite websites, antiwar.com, is Dave DeCamp. And Dave, welcome back to the show. Great to see you. I also love that you guys were able to get that URL however many years ago. The fact that that URL wasn't already swept up by somebody is pretty telling, that no one wants to talk about being anti-war and pro-peace. It's amazing that you're like, hey, let's look and see if this URL is available. Oh, it is, because people love war.
Good to see you, Dave. Yeah, it is pretty great because it's so easy to remember, antiwar.com. I have to give credit to my boss, Eric Garris, who founded the site. They started it in 1995, so it's been around a long time.
It's crazy to think that no one grabbed that because people are definitely pro-war. So give me your sense of, first of all, just the Russian report that, and the reports that we're hearing at Redacted, I'm sure you're hearing the same thing, that they are preparing for active strikes against Iran. Call it part two of the Iran war. We knew that this was coming. You guys, we talked last time that this was an inevitability. Are you surprised by Russia's statement on this?
No, I'm not. I mean, and this is what Iran has been saying as well. The president, the Ayatollah, they're saying, and the military. Basically since the ceasefire, the Iranian military has been saying that they're getting prepared for round two. And as we discussed last time, if there was no real change when it comes to the situation with Iran, that it was inevitably going to happen again. And a big thing that just happened over the weekend was the snapback sanctions. And these are UN Security Council sanctions that were lifted on Iran in 2015 when they signed the Iran nuclear deal, that the UK, France, and Germany triggered these sanctions to be reimposed. Essentially, they did this because they were set to expire in October. But they did this essentially on behalf of the US. And this is a sign that the Trump administration is not really interested in a deal in diplomacy with Iran, because they just put a whole nother big obstacle in the way of any deal, these UN Security Council sanctions. And Russia, you know, why I wasn't surprised to see this Russian statement about the potential attack on Iran, Russia came out very strongly against these snapback sanctions. And Russia and China tried to stop them at the UN Security Council, but that vote failed. And they basically said that, you know, they don't recognize these sanctions, that these sanctions are illegal. So it goes to show Russia's probably not going to follow them, because it does include an arms embargo on Iran, which, if that's something that Russia implemented, would kind of be a big deal when it comes to Russia-Iran relations. But it doesn't look like they're going to go with that. So, yeah, all signs pointing to a war. And a big thing here is Netanyahu in at the White House now. So two big things happened today. I'm sure you guys saw that Bibi apparently called up the prime minister of Qatar and said he was sorry for bombing them. The White House put out a statement on this. And then Trump and Netanyahu come out with this big press conference. The White House releases this vision for a Gaza ceasefire plan. It's kind of a whole nother topic to get into. But the point I want to make when it comes to Iran is that Netanyahu is a very transactional person. You know, if he's coming to the White House to call up Qatar and say that he's sorry, to publicly agree to this Gaza ceasefire proposal, he's going to want things in return. And I think one of those things could be a commitment for another war with Iran.
Jeez.
With Qatar, so you think Qatar would support this somehow? I mean, we see Saudi Arabia, another power in that region, just looks the other way. That's all they really do. So who else would we need to sign off on a war with Iran?
Well, I think Qatar is probably not thrilled about this idea, because they know that if there's another war with Iran, they're probably going to get hit, because we have the U.S. bases are there. So I don't think it's a matter of getting Qatar to agree with it. It's more of a matter of getting Trump to kind of, you know, this whole attack on Qatar, like Trump and the Trump administration claimed that they weren't aware of Israel's plans, that they just started bombing them. And we tried to tell them, but, you know, we ran out of time. But according to Israeli officials, which in this story, I'm inclined to believe them, Trump was notified by Netanyahu before the bombs, you know, the Israeli planes started dropping the bombs on Qatar, and he did not oppose or try to stop it. But so Trump is trying to kind of distance himself from this attack on Qatar, which he does view as a valuable ally. So I think in that sense, this is something that in a transactional sense, this is something that more that Trump wanted. Obviously, Qatar wanted it too, but I think this is more of Netanyahu trying to placate Trump to get backing for another round of attacks on Iran.
That's unbelievable bargaining chip. But it's so hard to believe what their relationship is. And we're always trying to parse the tea leaves. And last week, Trump was asked, what do you feel about Israel annexing the West Bank? Basically just going in full steam ahead because Trump is letting them do it. And he says, no, I'm not going to let them do it. But we can't put any stock in that, right?
Yeah. I mean, with Trump, I mean, this time around, it's like I've almost started ignoring his statements on Gaza, on Israel, because he says, you know, for months now, he's been saying, oh, we're close to a deal. And Israel just started this huge offensive to just completely destroy Gaza City. If you look at what their plans are, they want to remove the entire Palestinian population and raze every single building to the ground. So they go ahead with this offensive, as Trump's saying that there's some kind of deal on the table, you know, deal about to happen. But when it comes to the West Bank, I think it's important, you know, Israel may not have officially, formally annexed the West Bank or territory in the West Bank, but they continue to expand the settlements, which is de facto annexation. That is Israel taking control of this land. And this new big settlement expansion that they signed off on involves forcibly displacing thousands of Palestinians from their homes, from their villages. So this continues. And that's another thing, you know, Trump might be able to get out of Netanyahu, you know, that you're not going to officially declare that you've annexed the West Bank and in exchange for something. But I think Netanyahu now, he's going to be going home to a lot of angry members of his government who want the West Bank annexation, who don't want to agree to any kind of Gaza deal. So it's tough to really know what's happening behind the scenes, the deals that he's making. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we still saw some kind of symbolic annexation, them declaring, you know, the settlements officially part of Israel, which I don't want to downplay because that would basically mean that there's no going back, you know, that the Palestinians are never getting this land back.
Right. I mean, well, as Trump, you know, says in this statement, or as the press release has come out from the statement, this area will be redeveloped for the benefit of the people of Gaza. What does that mean? Who are the people of Gaza at this point?
Yeah, good point.
So I just want to know who that, you know, doesn't really make any sense. But I think I want to kind of go back to, I think the Iranian point here that you made is very important, that this is really a bargaining chip that Netanyahu or Milikowski, whatever you want to call him, is definitely very transactional. He comes to Washington, D.C. because he wants something in return. He wants the United States air support. He wants the refueling tankers there. We saw that in the case of the UK helping with refueling for missions over Iran as well. So he wants these things in return for some sort of paying lip service to peace in Gaza. We'll do this. We'll work with you on this. You're going to help us bomb Iran. That's really what you believe is happening here.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think that there's a good chance that that's kind of the behind the scenes dealings. And unfortunately, so, you know, it's tough to say. I can't say what's going to happen with this Gaza ceasefire proposal. Now Hamas says, you know, they're studying it. There's certain points in it that I cannot, you know, that it's unlikely Hamas would accept, including them disarming. Essentially, their position has been that they'll, you know, lay down their weapons if there's a Palestinian state or if there's a Palestinian force that can replace them, a Palestinian armed force. And this plan calls for some kind of foreign international force, you know, made up of from Arab countries, and also puts Gaza under the supervision of some sort of, I forget exactly what they call it, but they like a peace board that Trump is going to head and Tony Blair is going to be involved in, apparently. So, yeah, there you go. So these are, you know, essentially a foreign imposed government here that they're trying to push for. So, you know, what I see probably happening is Hamas kind of responding, trying to amend certain points in this. And then Israel and Netanyahu just saying, well, that's it. They rejected it. Time to go, right. You know, go back in. And Trump said at the press conference that if Hamas rejects it, you know, we'll back you, you know, to finish 100%. The job in Gaza.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finish the job. Yeah.
But what happens to Israel, though, given that... given the low level of support, given this full-on Hasbara PR push where they're trying to get young people to understand that Israel is their friend and why they need to continue this support, what is that repairable at all?
Well, I mean, I really think there is a big change happening in the U.S. when it comes to support for Israel. I mean, it's very obvious. It's a very obvious thing to say. But I mean, yeah. I think it is very significant and substantial, especially on the right, because this is, you know, the Republican base has always been so pro-Israel. And you still see it, obviously, in Congress that with the exception of, like, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, you're still seeing the Republican Congress completely in support of whatever Israel does. But the fact that you have young people, Gen Z, millennials, who just, I know from my experience, you know, kind of their position used to be like they would be pro-Israel by default. Say, you know, oh, the left is pro-Palestinian. Our guys are pro-Israel, and, you know, it's simple that's that. But now it's become, there's just too much happening. It's just become an untenable position because of the atrocities that they see being committed in Gaza every day, and the U.S. completely, you know, then now the kind of control of our politicians by Israel is more obvious. And also the U.S. just completely expending its diplomatic credibility and using all it, you know, launching a war on Iran on behalf of Israel. I mean, there's no hiding that that's what that was. So there's a reckoning happening, you know, on the American right that it, and Israel's really in trouble. And that's why you see Netanyahu meeting with influencers, you know, when he's in New York and talking about using social media as a weapon. So,
oh, yeah, I mean, the video that went viral over the past 24 hours is him talking to influencers. And he even he even calls them class at one point. He's like, "What's the biggest?" He's like, "What's the biggest threat right now? The biggest problem, class?"
X.
No, well, it was, yeah, but yeah. it was TikTok, you know. So that was the answer. TikTok and X are his two biggest problems. Yeah. He's like, "We're going to talk to Elon. We're going to shape him up." And then maybe that's why the algorithm has been flooding your for you feed lately with all of these like pro-Zionist messages. It's crazy. But hey, they got TikTok. They were going after TikTok. They got that one. I guess X is next.
Yeah, they've secured the algorithm, as the White House put it. And that's another thing. You know, I think that's a big part of Netanyahu's calculation, is that he knows that he's in trouble long term when it comes to support from the U.S. So that, I think, would make him more desperate, you know, really want to go through with this, the big war with Iran, which is, you know, obviously they want regime change. They want to basically neuter the Iranian military. So that's all factored into to his thinking here. And, yeah, you know,
another thing, social media influencers out there, you got to get the Hezbollah messages out there. You've got to attack people that question it. You've got to marshal everything right now to shore up support, because the young people absolutely have no support for Netanyahu and what he's doing. So they're losing the young people like crazy. They've got to send that. They need massive amounts of propaganda right now. Dave, thank you so much. The website is antiwar.com. Check out their great coverage. Always, you know, way ahead of the curve on what's going on right now with the beating of the war drum, as always. Great to see you, Dave. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Good to see you guys.
Our pleasure.
All right. Well, I mean, and I just keep coming back to, is it working? Right? I mean,
is what working?
My feed is chock full of pro-Zionists and I just scroll right past it. Like, you're an idiot. It doesn't work, right? And so who is it working for?
I don't know, but a lot of people are saying the same thing over the past few days. I've seen a lot
Kim Iverson said it.
Owen Schroyer. He's like, why is my For You feed suddenly filled with like all of this like Hasbara content, like pushing propaganda? Like, it's just being flooded over the past 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, you can make the tie that Elon Musk was just like in the latest Epstein files release. Elon Musk was named as having been to Epstein Island, and he's in the list too. And then, lo and behold, you know, if that was actually a Mossad, like if they were using Epstein for leverage, then yeah, we might see a little shift on
X. He refuted that directly on X just a few days ago.
Yeah, he posted a big thing.
He said, "I was invited and did not go."
He's like, I've never been there. I was invited and turned that down. Never went there. But yeah, I mean, but it's crazy. It's like, why is social media being taken over by these voices like out of the blue over the past like 2 weeks? You know, I think you need to do that, though, ahead of like when you're about to start a war with Iran. Like, you need to have like all of this influence campaign. You need to be them, you know, crapping all over Qatar. You need to do that. You need to get out. You need to be telling everyone that you're an anti-Semite. For, you know, if they don't support a genocide, like all of those pieces, you need to be flooding social media with that stuff. You need to lay the groundwork.
And I was thinking about when TikTok was shut down under the auspices of China, having our data. Philip, your daughter, who's a teenager, had said, well, then, you know, I don't care. I'd give them my data. But, you know, this is not for them to, it's for me to know and make this decision. And then she stopped using TikTok when the U.S. government salvaged it, right? And did she ever go back? She just sort of, you said that a lot of people in her generation are like, screw it, then I'll go use, I don't know, YouTube Reels.
Yeah, no, she didn't. She'll watch YouTube Shorts, some YouTube Instagram Shorts. Reels. She tried Blue Sky for about a week and she didn't like it, so.
Yeah.
So that's, but no, she did
save
not go back
to that.
So, it seems to me like it may be a little too late and that young people are not going to be like, oh, well, I was wrong about Israel. Okay, I'll go back.
Well, they're flying all of these influencers over Israel right now, is flying all of these influencers over to Israel right now, again, for another round of propaganda campaigns, because they've got to get these young people, they've got to sell them on this.
But can't young people see this? Again, does it work? I just want to know.
Absolutely. I think young people are... The thing is, like, he can get these influencers, they can get these influencers involved, but who are these influencers influencing? Because they're not going to be convincing anybody, because the people that disagree with them already, the people that see what Israel is doing, see this as a genocide, they're not where they're trying to find them. They're not on TikTok anymore. They're, you know, it's like they know that the algorithm has been compromised.
Right.
And so, how are they going to reach him?
Let's just spitball. If we were trying to convince people that Israel's a good guy, how would you do it then? The TikTok, they know, has been co-opted. The influencers are not genuine and they can see it. So, you know, the anti-Semitic term has been deflated. It doesn't work anymore. There's really nothing else. Right? I mean, what else would you do? Netanyahu is saying, this is our main battle now. It's funny. He's like, you can't use swords anymore. It doesn't work. And I was like, well, then stop killing people in Gaza. If killing people, then how about we stop that then? If it's only going to be a social media battle, what would you do, right? If you're losing, I'm just curious, what could you possibly do?
I don't know. I mean, I guess Netanyahu's figuring they're going to fly these influencers out. They're going to pay them a lot of money. They're going to put them up in hotels. They're going to give them social media accounts. Mm-hmm. They're going to use the bot army. So that's what they'll do. You'll be seeing all sorts of like fake propaganda media accounts publishing content over the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. That's what they've been doing. Pro-Israel stuff. It's all BS.
Well, when you've got like some of the influencers like in their connection to like PragerU and some of this stuff, like I don't think they're trying to make their case with people that disagree with them. I think they've given up on them. What this tells me is they're trying to not lose support that they already have. They're not trying to win hearts and minds. They're trying to batten down the hatches, so to speak,
and keep their base of powerful people.
Like they're under siege and they're from going into siege mode. Yeah, trying to protect what they've got left.
Right.
I don't know who they have left, but you got Mark Levin. You got Laura Loomer.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, if you have any other thoughts on that, you know where to find us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I want to tell people to subscribe to the channel. If you're not already a subscriber, please do that. It's totally free to subscribe. And thanks to the tens of thousands of you that subscribed to us in September. We really appreciate it. It's easy right here on YouTube or on Rumble. You can do that. Also, we have a newsletter. You want to tell it? It's a daily newsletter that people should subscribe to. It's free.
Yes, you can go to redacted.inc and put your email and address in there. And we write it every day that this show comes out so that you have links and context for original source material. There's nothing there that's behind a paywall. It's totally free. And if I link you to something that's behind a paywall, I try and find you a public link. It's just something that we do to prepare for the show. It's almost like you get an insight to our notes behind the show, and then you also get source material. So it's a pet project of ours, and it's a compendium. It's a companion piece to this show. So please subscribe and tell your friends about it, redacted.inc. We work really hard on our newsletter for you.
Yeah, and you can read it over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning, and you can read it about 5 or 10 minutes. It's a great way to start off your day covering the stories the mainstream media ignores. So thank you guys all for joining us today on this Monday. Happy National Coffee Day. Happy Sun's Day.
I think yesterday.
I thought it was the 29th is National Coffee Day.
National Sun's Day was yesterday.
Oh, National Sun's Day was yesterday. Okay, National Coffee Day is today. Yeah. Can't keep up with all these national holidays. Mm. I want to take off for all of them. Thank you guys for subscribing, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great night.